Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Keep your Bibles open here just a few moments. I want to look at a couple things. Remember who this is speaking. Now, this is Isaiah, the prophet speaking for God. I want you to notice what he says. This has got a message in it for all of us, for our nation, for our church, for you if you're not saved. There's a message in it for all of us. Beginning reading with me, if you would, in verse number 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, king of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger, they are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises, purifying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Saith the Lord, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams, the fat of the fed beast, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is abomination to me, the new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are troubled unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, ye make many prayers. I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Now notice verse 18 through 20. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, let me do two, three things real quickly, and then I want to share with you a message on this scripture. First of all, I want to look and let it apply a little bit to our nation. I preached on this chapter and applied it to our nation before. Our nation are being devoured by strangers, being burnt. America that we see right now, and thank God we kind of took a turn back on some things and desperately needed. But the America that we're seeing is not the America that most of us knew. We've seen things happen within here. Laws have changed. The forefathers would not recognize what this country has grown into. Somebody said, are you anti-immigrant? We're all immigrants pretty much. Absolutely not. I'm just anti-illegal immigrant. People just coming, and right now we've got a group coming, and they're just going to want to come and force their way into the borders. If they continue that, and everybody in the world just wants to come and just push your way into this country, and then we try to take means and support them, won't be long to this country be a third world country. We'll be dependent upon other countries to support us. I'm not sure they'll be as generous to us as what we've been to the world. Somebody said that can't happen. Well, it sure can. But that's not what I want to preach on today. I want to go back to the history here, and I want you to look. God's talking to his people, Israel. At this time of the writing of Amos, Jerusalem, as a matter of fact, Israel has been divided up into two different groups, two different kingdoms, a north kingdom, south kingdom. The north kingdom has been taken captive. Most of the bottom kingdom, Judah, had been taken captive. The only things left right now is a small group, a remnant of people, in verse 8 referred to in Jerusalem. Now, picture this if you would. Everybody they know in the upper kingdom and lower kingdom, except those that's gathered in Jerusalem, have been taken away. They've been taken there because God, even though they were God's people, he'd been good to them. He fed them. He took care of them. He provided for them in so many things. And yet they acted as if he didn't exist. They snubbed their nose to God. They didn't recognize him as God. They didn't treat him as God. And therefore, they didn't obey anything he told them to do. He kept sending and allowing things to happen in their life to bring them down. At this time, they've been taken captive. You know what the ones was doing that was left behind? You say, man, they were on their faces before God crying out to God. No, they were going through the same dead motions that they were going through before all that happened. Now, stick with me a minute. I want to help you a minute if you listen to me. If you follow there, you notice that what he said there in verse number 9 and on down, he began to tell them that they were going to be like, if it was not for the fact that God left a small remnant, they would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. They would have been wiped out. But God was merciful to allow a remnant. And yet what did they do in response? They did nothing. The rulers, their rulers, was like the rulers of Sodom and Gomorrah. And therefore, they were ignoring everything that God said. And therefore, what they were doing was this. Oh, they were good Jews. And what they were doing was they just kept coming in, going into the temple, bringing the same old tired sacrifices, bringing the same old tired incense, bringing the same old tired offerings. And they got through and just going through the motions with God. And so God come and he said, listen, he said, let me let you in on a little secret. I'm fed up with this mess. You come into my temple, I don't want no more your sacrifices. You say, well, God commanded them to bring sacrifices. Listen to me, pay attention. What God wanted was their heart. Without the heart, everything you do for God is meaningless. You may be here this morning and you say, well, I come to church. My parents always brought me to church, but you may be the same way. And God may be sitting here and saying, listen, you're sitting in that church and your worship is old, tired, dead worship. You're just doing it out of repetitiveness. You're just doing it because that's what you always did. You don't come to my house to worship me. You don't come to hear something from me. You don't come to lift up praises to me. You come and you go through the same motions. You're singing, you're preaching, your tithes, your offerings, your everything that you're doing is just repetitive and you're just getting tired and I don't want it no more. That's what he was telling them in temple. He said, everything you're bringing to me, look back if you would, notice back in the Bible, in verse number 9. He says, and the daughter of Zion has left his cottage vineyard and lodged his garden of cucumbers as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts has left us a very small remnant, we should have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he goes on down in verse number 11. He says, to what purpose is the multitude sacrificing to me? In other words, he said, why are you bringing these things in the temple to begin with? Why are you doing? Hey, let me ask you this. Why are you here? Why are you here? God knows. He knows where you were yesterday. He knows what you was yesterday. He knows what you are today. And he knows what you'll be tomorrow. But the question is, why are you here? And can I say this? This Sunday morning, in America, we'll just take America. This Sunday morning in America, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of buildings with people just like you in it. And God don't need none of them. You hear me? God doesn't want just vain people coming and just coming to be coming. He wants you to do something when you're here. He was telling Judah and Israel and those who's left in Jerusalem, he said, I've took everything around you except this city. And I haven't let them take the city yet. And by the way, he's fixing to. And you know what was happening? They were taken. They were going into Babylon. They were becoming slaves. Their wives and their daughters were being raped. They were being made into mistresses. Their children were being made slaves. You know what they did in Babylon? Oh, they began to cry out to God. Oh, God, God, why? But here he's trying to say, wake up before you get there. Do you not understand the pain that you're bringing upon yourself? Somebody said, well, what pain am I bringing? You have the same old tired worship? Then where's your children? What happens in generation after you've gone through a generation of tired worship? They don't need church. I remember a church up there where a dad and them pastored. Many of those, and Rick will tell you, some of them will tell you, many of those, you couldn't beat their children in church. From what they seen out of their parents, they want nothing church had to offer. You couldn't get them to come back to church. They were fed up watching their parents. And you know what? Their parents were strict. When the doors was open, they were there. Tithes they gave strictly. All these things they did out of legalistic obligations. But they had no heart that moved upon the children. They saw no heart in what they did. They were not influenced by a heart. And what the parent says is, do this because God said to do it, and that was all they knew to do, and they had no heart and no spirit about what they were doing. Am I telling the truth? That's where Israel was. They were going through, and God said, listen, I am sick of your sacrifices. These cows and bulls and stuff you bring in here, you're needlessly killing animals because they're not doing you a bit of good. Because everything you're doing, your heart's not even in it. And if your heart's not in it, I don't want it. He said, this incense, even though incense was supposed to be a type of the sweet savor unto God's nostrils when people pray, he said, prayers, you ever feel like your prayer's not getting through? Well, maybe they're not. God said in Psalms 66, he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. You ever got in a place where you pray and you just didn't feel like God's getting through? Nothing's getting through? That's where Israel was. That's where a majority of churches are. If we're not careful, all of us get to that position where we just come. We just come and it doesn't matter. We just come and we come because out of habit or duty or whatever it may be. But notice if you would, back in verse 13, he asks in verse 12, he says, why do you appear before me in my courts? Then in verse 13, he says, bring no more your obligations. Oblations is to sacrifice as animals. He says, it's abomination to me, the new moons and Sabbath. He's the one set the new moons and Sabbath. And what did he say? The calling of assemblies, he's one to that. He said, I cannot away with it. It's iniquity. You say, you mean if I'm here, I can be iniquity? Yes, when you're here and your heart's not in it. He said, listen, people all the time draw near me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. He goes on, he says, you spread forth your hands. I will hide my eyes from you. You know what prayer, what hands? Was when they pray. They go in certain times they're supposed to pray. That's the only thing that bothers me sometimes about church here. Sometimes we open up with prayer. We say prayer at offering. We say prayer here. We say prayer. If we're not careful, our prayers are just monotonous. I catch myself doing that sometimes. Praying for a meal and get monotonous. Praying at church and get monotonous. And sometimes I think when I pray that probably God says, shoo, I don't want to hear it. Your heart's not in that. I remember one time, it sticks in my mind, I was at my grandfather's and I was sitting, me and him and my grandmother were sitting there eating. Just three of us. Nobody to make a show about. And he started to bless the food. When he got through praying, there was a puddle of water from tears on the table. Nothing was going on at that time. It was tears of thankfulness to God for the food we was about to eat. I bet God heard that prayer. We can come and sing. If our heart's not in it, God don't want to hear it. You say, well, does that mean we need to just stop coming? He said, don't you realize what this is doing to your children and what it's doing to the generations to come? You realize where you put them? As a matter of fact, all the rest of the people that's not here around you, that's in captivity in Babylon, they're there exactly for this reason. Brother Rick was talking about her. He's talking to somebody back there about homes and working through the Christian school and working with homes. And I said, listen, it's all homes. They're all being affected in this generation by just things I'm talking about. We're all guilty of sometimes coming to church and not having our heart in what we're doing. The Bible says, Jesus told the woman at Samaria, he says, when you come to worship God, you worship him in spirit and in truth. You got to worship God. God knows how we're worshiping. And so here God's telling Israel, knows here. He says, you spread forth your hands in verse 15. He says, verse 16, he said, wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil from your doings. That's why he says over there, Solomon, when he was sitting there and he was praying about the temple and dedicating temple. And he said this, he says, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. But if my people, which are called by my name, God told Solomon this. He said, but if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face and turn from their iniquities, then I'll hear them from heaven. I'll forgive their iniquities and I will heal their land. And you might disagree with me and I don't care. And you can say what you want to. But I really believe this. I believe that the last 8 years that we went through with the former president, where he opened up and he tried to weaken this nation, he tried to destroy the foundation of this nation, he tried to destroy the history of this nation. I believe it's because of people praying to God. And I still stand amazed that he could take a man like Trump with all the issues that he has in his life and him come and start turning things back and restoring some things back in this nation. And you know what? And Trump, I believe that Trump in his history and so forth, I don't believe he really even understand who God was. But he's probably got one of the most spiritual vice presidents that we've had in the history of this land. He's probably making some most sound decisions and policies of any president in our lifetime that we've seen. But our hope is not in this land. But if you ask me what did it, I believe people got so fed up and got worried about the condition of the country, and they begin to pray. And they begin to want to do something. And by the way, can I say this? Go vote. Don't believe in this garbage that some people have you. Right, listen, Christian people needs to stay home and not vote and get involved in politics. Don't you believe that. You stay home, guess who's going to put their people in? You better be wise. You go vote. And look here, you have nothing to complain about if you don't go vote. You see that red mark all over that flag? That's from people who died and shed their blood to give you the right to vote. Amen. Where we didn't have dictators telling us and coming in. You know, I often think of some dictators right now. Saddam Hussein. His boys, they'd come upon a wedding. And somebody be sitting there having a wedding with marrying a girl, and several times this happened under the dictator. They'd be having a wedding, and his boys would come in with their armed guards, and they'd take the woman, take her out, and rape her several times, bring her back, and give her to the guy. And there wasn't a thing the guy could do about it. If he said anything, they'd suck a pistol to his head and blew his head, brains out. You've got a country that you vote. You vote. Amen. Now let's get back to this. So here, God says, listen. He says, do you understand what you're doing? Now here we can make this, these next verses. Look if you would back in verse number 18. The Bible says, come now and let us reason together what? Saith the Lord. Listen to me. Are you listening? God don't owe us nothing. Amen. He don't have to do nothing. He could say, listen, I'm tired with this meaningless worship. I'm just going to let somebody come in and wipe America off the face of the earth. I'm just going to allow some dictator to take over America and let their homes become enslaved. He could do all kinds of things. But what he did was he said this to his people. He said, listen, he said, I'm fed up with it. I've sent people into bondage. I've sent people into slavery. He said, now this small remnant here, he said, I don't want no more of your sacrifices. I don't want more of your incense burnt. I don't want more of your full days and your Sabbaths. I don't want nothing else. This is what I want. He said, I want you to come right now. Now notice, first of all, the urgency of it. Now, did you ever notice how urgent things are with God? Now listen to me a minute. I'll never forget, and you've heard me the story before, but some's not this here. I worked my partner. I remember sitting at a picnic table with him. He was 31 years old, and he told me this. He said, Bill, he was lost. He said, I'm lost. He said, but I'm going to get saved one of these days. He said, Bill, one of these days I want what you got. He said, but right now I'm enjoying my life the way it is. He liked to play in rock band. He was living with this girl. He liked to party all the time. And he told me, he said, one of these days I'm going to straighten up. He said, but I'm young. I'm 31 years old. And he said, one of these days I'm going to straighten up and I want what you got. And I told him, I called him by name, and I said, listen. I said, you have no promise of tomorrow. When you know that you need to do it, you need to make that decision, and you need to change your life now. And he said, no, I don't want to now, later. Less than 2 weeks. I worked for EMS at that time, less than 2 weeks. I was straddling his body. He'd wrecked and on a motorcycle, drunk. Took his arm and shoulder off. He's bleeding out in the ditch line. He ended up dying. So I was working on him. That's why God says today, if you hear his voice, you don't know what tomorrow may bring. That's why he says, come now. Did you notice that God always gives an invitation to come? And by the way, even though this message is not to sinners, it is to God's people, but the message can go to you if you're lost. He wants you to get saved now. He bids you to come. He wants you to come to him. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You say, well, preacher, I've got a long life ahead of me. How do you know that? You know, a bunch of the Jewish people over there in Pennsylvania gathered yesterday to celebrate a wedding. I believe wedding or birth or something. Birth. Some guy went in there with AK-7. Started blowing people away. You say, well, that's in the big city. Folks, you don't know what's going to happen where. There's a lot of crazy people out there. Yeah. And just over and over and over, it can happen. And by the way, I can tell you of certainty, you get on these roads, you don't know that you're going to get back home. I've went to 1,000 different scenes where people left and they thought they were having the best day of their life and didn't know they were going to go out and meet God that day. And you say, well, I'm a good driver. But that don't mean everybody else is. But listen to me. We never know. That's why he says, come now. He says, come now, let us reason together. In other words, God Almighty, sitting up in heaven, he said, he could just say, I'm done with you. I'm just going to go ahead. Let your children go on off and let them mess up their life. Let them destroy their life. Let them die and go to hell. And you just go on sit in that pew and just pretend and play and do all those things you're doing, and that's fine with me. But God said, whoa here. He said, come here. Come now. You better reason things out. Reason with me. Take a good look. Haven't you figured it out? You not get it? Do you not care? Are you caught up in that group that's only lovers your own self? All that matters is you? Or are you wanting to make a difference? He said, if you do, he said, come on, come now. Notice what he said, saith the Lord. He said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be what? Though they be red like crimson, they should be what? He said, let's do a comparison. To those of you who are not saved, listen to me. God says, I know who you are. I know what you've done. I know where you've been. And he said, what I want you to do is come. Come to me. I can help you. As a matter of fact, I'm the only one that can help you. Amen. You won't save. There's only one way of coming, being saved. That's coming to me. That's why the book that you hold in your lap, it ends in the very last chapter by saying this. The Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. God wants you to come. And so if you're here this morning, you're not saved, God wants you to come. And you know what he can do? I don't care how scarlet, by the way, scarlet is the deepest staining red there was. As a matter of fact, Jesus, when he went to cross Calvary, they stripped him of his clothes. You know what they put on? A scarlet robe. He was making our sins white, and he took on the scarlet. He can take a scarlet and he can take your sin, regardless of what it is, and he can make it pure. Only God has that ability through Jesus. But you've got to be willing to come and reason with him. If you're here and you are saved, and by the way, God's people is who he's speaking to, he said, don't you think it's time you come and let's reason? You say, well, preacher, I'm saved. Doesn't mean that you don't have sin. The Bible says, talking to saved people, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth's not in it. But if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just forgive your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But if you say you have no sin, you make God a liar and the truth's not in you. You say, what's my sin? It may be just sitting there, going through motions, and not having any heart at all in what's going on this Lord's Day. Singing songs, supposed to be lifting up Jesus. Some people this morning is getting up in front of the congregations and they want everybody, they're not saying it, but they're wanting everybody to look at them and tell them how good they sing. There are some that's getting up preaching, wanting everybody to come out, shake their hands, say, oh, such a masterful message. Oh, he speaks with such oracle. Never be said about me, can it? I spit on you, I say everything, I gum up words and everything else. But what God says is this. Don't want that. I want this. I don't care what else you do as long as I've got that. We can work out the rest. I've seen people with heart for God stand up here and couldn't carry a tune in a bucket and the whole church get blessed out of the song they sung. My point is, Jesus said, listen, you gotten away from me? Let's reason. Now look here. Let me give you this, I'll close. He leaves with an ultimatum. God doesn't have to do it, but he says, come now, verse 18, let us reason together. Say to the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Though this be red like crimson, they should be as wool. If ye be willing, obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. He said, if you will, I'm going to let you stay here, folks. He's telling them in Jerusalem, he's going, I'm going to let you stay. If you'll turn your heart to me and start worshiping me with your heart and quit going through the motion, I'm going to let you stay. But notice what he says in verse 20. But if you what? Refuse and rebel, you shall be what? For the what? Mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And you know what they did? They went about doing the same things they were doing. You know where they ended up? The sword. Took Jerusalem, took them to Babylon, the precious temple, destroyed it. The one Solomon had built that everybody come from all over the place to look at the beauty, a house had never been built like that, destroyed. You know why? They didn't listen. And God told him, he said, if you will, I'm going to let you eat good. I'm going to bless you. But if you don't, I've spoken, this is what's going to happen. Now listen to me. Let me say this, and then we're going to sing. You're a fool. Hear me? You're a fool. If you're here and you're lost today, and you think somehow God's going to make an exception for you dying without Jesus and let you go to heaven, you're a fool if you believe that. It's not going to happen. God's done spoken. He says, forever, O heaven, thy words are settled in heaven. He's done settled it in heaven. His words have done been said. He can't take it back and he won't take it back. You die without Christ forever. You will die in eternity of hell. My friend, if you're here today, come now and reason with God through the cross of Calvary. He'll save your soul. And if you are saved, my friend, listen to what God says. Come. Would you do that? He wants your heart. Has things gotten your heart away from God? He wants your heart to stand. Maybe you're here this morning, God's speaking to your heart. You need to come. How about it?